Today, we'll choose an EV for a family wanting to replace a Hyundai Ioniq, a smart ED owner considering swapping it out for another fun and affordable car, and an older couple looking for a bit of luxury. Welcome to Battery Bargains, a series from the Batteries Included podcast. This is episode number 26. I'm Dominic Ioni, and I'm joined today by Martin Lee from the EV News Daily podcast, along with Tom Malogny, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge. Now, if you're looking for your own battery bargain, email us a couple short paragraphs with your use case and budget, and we'll see about featuring your case on an upcoming episode. All right, so let's kick this thing off today with our first case. And to be transparent, we've paraphrased these emails a little bit for length and clarity. So you guys ready to go car shopping?
There we go.
All right. So our first email comes to us from Lee, who says he is a longtime listener to our podcast, YouTube channels, and of course, EV News Daily. He writes, "Good afternoon, all. I'm based in Scotland, UK, and have a Kia Niro EV 64 kilowatt hour and a Hyundai Ioniq 38 kilowatt hour. We're a family of four, two adults and two kids, 5 and 8. I'm thinking of swapping the Ioniq for either a 2019 or 2020 Audi e-tron 55, around £28,000, he's in the UK, of course, with a few options ticked, or a model year 21 Jaguar I-Pace HSE, around £27,000, with quite a few options. I don't need the full space of the e-tron, and it might be too big for daily use. Daily commute is less than 20 miles, and every 2 months we do a 600-mile round trip, 300 miles each way with a few days apart. There are plenty of stops on the way, and charging speed not a deal breaker, as half an hour should get us topped up to the guaranteed destination 7-kilowatt charger. We do take quite a bit of luggage, 3 or 4 cases normally for all of us as we also travel abroad. This is the only reservation with the Jag. We have a home 7-kilowatt charger with 10.65 kWp of solar. The Jag appeals more as it looks amazing and seems a steal, and I would love to own a luxury car for the first time. Buying approved used also gets you £1,000 deposit contribution, 2 years of Jag warranty, 2 Jag services, and a free home charger. Just after your thoughts to see if I've not considered something I ought to. Thanks in advance, Lee." All right, so I guess, Martin, let's start with you, since this is kind of closer to your neck of the woods than ours. He's just looking at Jaguar Audi E-Pace. I don't know, what are your thoughts on this?
I've not had the I-Pace HSE in the driveway since it was the November, December, after the first lockdown. So my whole brain is mushy around that time. What is that, 2020? My goodness me, time flies. And so, it's been that long since I've driven an I-Pace, but we had one for a while, and it was exceptional. Brilliant. Absolutely loved it. Had a new one fresh from the factory. They sent me for a month or two to review, and that was box fresh, straight from Magna, and it was great. So you'll love it. HSE is a killer spec. Yes, it does feel luxury. And space-wise, you know, let's have a little think. Little fella, we were a family of three at the time, not four, and he would have been 18 months. So, no, he would have been a year and a 2.5 years. So he still had, you know, because it's the whole thing. The smaller the children, the bigger the car seats. Well, your little ones are 5 and 8. So they're, you know, they're in smaller seats or boosters and stuff like that. I don't remember the I-Pace being small for luggage, but yeah, the Audi, I think, not without looking up the specs of the literage of the boot space, I think the Audi has a little more room. Either would be great choices. The Jag feels special, I must admit. I tell you what as well, Tom. The Jag is quick. It's the thing no one ever talks about with that vehicle. I mean, yeah, it's luxury at night, but my goodness me, that all-wheel drive system on the I-Pace, of course, both of those are all-wheel drive vehicles, you'll have a lot of fun with that. Look, either are great choices. I think the warranty would give me peace of mind. I didn't realize the Jag were doing a 2-year warranty on used vehicles, approved used. That's not a bad shout, because it's not, there's not loads of them around. And so servicing, if a part is needed, would probably be okay. There's not, you know, there's not a ton of stock probably sitting on shelves around in Jag, you know, dealerships and stuff. If one needed to be called upon, if didn't have it in Scotland, you need to get one shipped. Could be a delay, I don't know, but I think the warranty's a good shout, saving you the worry of a big bill coming your way.
Right. See, Tom, you drove the Jaguar I-Pace. Did you drive it in Portugal?
No, I didn't go on that press drive, but I've driven them extensively, and I have a friend that actually owns one. So, you know, I've driven them quite frequently, and I really do like the I-Pace. My biggest concern has been reliability, and you know, I know that people have had some issues with them. The good thing about this is he's getting a 2-year warranty, and the price seems fantastic. You know, Audi's the safe bet. Can you live with the, you know, the boot size on the I-Pace? So that's the big question. I really don't know how much you need. Can you downsize a little bit with the luggage? The e-tron definitely has a good amount of more storage space and cargo volume than the I-Pace will. But I mean, you know, just told me, look, I'm going to give you one of these vehicles to drive for the next 2 years. Which one do you want? I would take the I-Pace personally. I think it's a cooler vehicle. I think it drives better than the e-tron. The e-tron is nice, super quiet, smooth drive. So I'm not knocking the e-tron, but the Jag is like, you know, a premium sport crossover. It's, as Martin said, it's got some, you know, it's got some cojones. And if you do any type of off-road driving, which I know you probably don't, but I mean, even on uneven gravel surfaces and so forth, the I-Pace is incredibly capable. That's why Don talked about the initial drive was in Portugal, and they had them driving like on sand and off-road and everything. And the journalists that went there were like amazed at how well it did off-road. But I don't know if there's other premium brands that we don't get here in the U.S. over in Scotland that you could consider. But if it's between the I-Pace and the e-tron, if you can make it work luggage-wise with the I-Pace and you're getting this 2-year warranty, I think I'd probably lean towards the I-Pace because it's a really nice vehicle.
I've just thought about something. Check the insurance on both of those. Because it could be one of those weird things that the I-Pace is just really expensive to fix, and insurance companies have hiked the price for whatever reason. Only because when I came last December to change either to a Tesla Model 3 or a Polestar 2, and it was half the price. And that's it shouldn't be that way. But the Polestar 2 for me, you know, two drivers on it, you know, parked on a driveway, it's off-road parking, not garaged overnight, but still off-road, and someone who's driven for, you know, 25 years, never made a claim, it was £500, which I still, in my head, seems like a lot of money, but I guess what insurance costs now. An equivalent Model 3, long range, not performance, was £1,100, cheapest I could get, less than half price, actually. And it wasn't a deal breaker. You know, over a couple of years, it's £1,000 difference. I would have got the Tesla if I'd found the right one before the right Polestar came along, but I was surprised at the difference between those. So check the insurance, because it could be that the Jag, just for whatever reason, is, I don't know, more difficult to repair, or maybe the Audi's more difficult to repair. One of them might be more than the other.
Right. So I kind of echo, I think, what you guys are saying. I think the Audi e-tron, you know, is almost as likely, I think, to have some issues, you know, as far as like repairs or maintenance or whatever. You know, they've had some recalls over time, and I know, I believe Kyle's like has one, and his air suspension, I think, went out at one point. So there things can go wrong with the Audi, but, you know, the Jaguar also has a reputation for not being necessarily the most reliable, and some, you know, there have been complaints about software and screen things. So I would say if the heart wants what the heart wants, so, and that's a, you know, this deal is pretty good with the 2 years of Jag warranty, two service visits, and a free home charger, and $1,000 deposit contribution. They make it very enticing, you know. So I would kind of go that way. But I would definitely, though, you know, take a test drive first. Make sure you like it. Make sure, you know, the infotainment system is up to snuff for you, because it's a luxury vehicle, but you want that, you might feel like you really need that luxury experience, you know, of the infotainment being fast and offering, you know, the information that you want.
Check so, the on the iPace refresh. If you don't know what you're looking for, I believe the dead giveaway when they did the new model year was when you're looking at the pictures on dealer websites and stuff like that, and they show you the picture of the boot open and the tailgate open, the split rear seats, I believe the original one was a 60-40 split. And then around 2021, they went to a three-way split rear seat. And that coincided with the all-new Fancy Pants jazzed up software that you want. You want that one. Don't get the old software. Yeah. I think that's the dead giveaway. But that just saves you time asking to get the dealer to show you a shot of the screen. And do you even know what you're looking at? Because I'm not an expert on the iPace software. But I think that's the giveaway. So Someone can correct us in the comments if I'm wrong.
But yeah, I think the iPace is a pretty brilliant, on paper at least, you know, car. Great off-road ability. It can ford water up to like 36 inches, I think, something like that. Just like, you know, it's pretty capable on-road, off-road. Yeah. All right. Let's move on to our next email. That comes to us from Lee, who says he is a longtime listener to our podcast. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Sorry, that is the first one. Our next case comes to us from Charles, who sent us an email and says, I have a Chevrolet Bolt, and my wife has a Tesla, so our actual needs are already met. I bought a 2013 Smart ED Cabrio about 3 years ago as a fun car for pretty days. As Kyle knows, this is the most perfect car ever produced, but mine is starting to get sick. It has a mysterious 12-volt battery drain that I'm afraid will lead to a $7,000 repair estimate in a year or so. When that day comes, what should I do? Pay the $7,000, presuming the battery seems healthy, get an older Mini Cooper SE, get an i3, maybe wait for the new Fiat 500, although I predict the price of $38,000 for the convertible if we get that here in the USA. Short test drives in the Mini seem fine, but I can't find one to rent for a longer test. Prices for older ones should be around $20,000 plus the $4,000 discount. Never driven an i3, but every lessee I've spoken with seemed happy. I am ruling out the older Fiat 500e as they're getting old and were never sold here in North Carolina. Any recommendations? Did I miss any small, fun used EVs for around $20,000? Thanks, Charles. All right, so Tom, small, fun used EVs for around $20,000.
So you can get a Think City for about $2,000 if you're interested.
Ooh, Think City, but, look at you.
I'm probably not going to recommend that. No. I'm going to go right in and say, start looking for BMW i3S and just keep searching. And I know two or three people that picked them up for the low 20s, and that's an i3S. That's a 63,000 car. It drives really well. The S handles so much better. It's more stable on the highway. It's got a wider track. It's got a little more juice to it. At the higher speeds, like at 60, 70 miles an hour, when you punch it, you got a lot more power. The lower end, it's not that much different than the regular i3s, but you have a lot more passing juice up over like 60 miles an hour. And I mean, you're driving a car that with carbon fiber frame, engineering wise, I mean, you listen to Sandy Munro marvel over how BMW put that vehicle together. There's nothing wrong with the Mini Cooper SE. It's really nice. Nothing wrong with the Fiat 500e, but you're getting a special car with the i3S, in my opinion. And I'm seeing them now in the low 20s. And my friend Chris bought one, a Panda, white one, recently. He paid a little more. He paid about 25. We did an article on Inside EVs on somebody that bought one for like, I think, 22.5 or something like that. One that's just a couple of years old, but low mileage. That's the play there. Go for the i3S. Get the BEV. Don't bother with the range extender. As long as the range, I mean, if you're talking about these other EVs, then you're fine with the range. I tell you, you're not going to look back. You're really going to like that. I would take a used, like a 2 or 3 year old i3S over a brand new Fiat 500e personally. But, you know, that's me.
What do you think Charles means here by the $7,000 repair estimate in a year or two? We need a bit more information on that.
Is he guessing that it could lead to $7,000? What, you know, or did he get a repair? Did someone say, you know what, this is going to be a big expense down the road? I don't know what that is. I haven't heard of any specific problems on the smart electric drives that cause a huge bill, you know, other than battery failure, which would be more than $7,000, I would think. So I don't know. I don't know what he's alluding to, but
Now I've got here a 2014. I'm just having a look on my Auto Trader UK. So a 2014 Smart 4.2 with 8,000 miles on it. No, it's not been driven. I'm going to do a Kyle now, and I want this car, and that's on for 6.5. There's a cheaper one that's on 28,000 miles. It's on for 5.9. I mean, $7,000 is more than the vehicle is worth. I can't think of anything on it. We need Kyle for this one because he owned one and took it around dirt courses and over jumps and through rivers and all sorts and couldn't break the thing. And I can't see what would be $7,000 in a Smart. Like, that's the price of the whole vehicle. If as long as even the traction battery, there's got to be a third party shop that works on EVs that would get involved and want to do it just certainly for less money. Because I think you're great. I'll go the other way to Tom, actually, and say I think as you are sorted for your two cars and you're in the very luxurious position of having a third fun car, I would get something as cheap as possible, even replacing the Smart for a Smart. Because if you really can pick up the Smart in the US for, there's 113 for sale here in the UK right now. That's the 4.2 electric drive. I'm sure they do go up from $6,000 and $7,000, but there's something liberating about having a car that costs that much money. You know, we still, it's a head scratcher, but you know, they look at me as sort of Mr. EV with the EV podcast and all sorts. And we still have a diesel Golf on the driveway, and we are using it at the minute once a week because my 5-year-old plays rugby, and it's, you know, it's winter outside. And it's fair to say that, you know, if we had a truck, or if we had an old Landy or something, like an old Land Rover, whatever, but it just happens to be a 14-year-old Golf diesel. Like, we use that to drive to the park. It manages to get through the mud, and believe me, he muds that thing up when he gets in with his boots. And I just hose the thing out at the end. There's something liberating in having a car that is that cheap. Not I'm saying that you should trash your belongings and be disrespectful to your stuff that you've earned, you know, your hard-earned money on, but I would go the other end. Like, the i3S for me would be such a dream vehicle to have on the driveway. It's beautiful, but there's something liberating about having a cheap and cheerful runaround that is, yeah, rough around the edges. But if someone dings a car, you know, car park door ding in the supermarket, and you're like, oh man, okay, no worries. Like, you get on a nice car, you get irritated, you gotta get it fixed to keep your cars nice. So I would firstly check out that repair cost, and secondly, replace it like for like. You got a great car.
Well, then, Dom, let me just jump back in. If that's going to be the case, Martin, why not recommend that he gets a Mitsubishi iMEV?
I mean, that is also brilliant, isn't it? Because people are going to stare at you. And I mean, like, who's that? What's that dude? You can park it front in. I mean, can you imagine parking that next to half the trucks that you've got? It would just get trampled on. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get something as close as you can to a smart electric drive, that's the play.
Oh my gosh, that thing was hilarious. But it'll put a smile on your face, wouldn't it, when you drive it? You know, you go to the drive-through window and you'd be looking up there like, excuse me, I'm down here.
I like the idea of the IMEV, but I'm not sure if it can. I don't think it has like the spark, so to speak, of the smart ED. You know, I don't think it's quite as peppy. It's got, I think the motor is like 49 kilowatts or something like that. It was like, or 50 kilowatts. It was a pretty low powered kind of affair, right? With a tiny battery. Range is like 50 or 60 miles. It's like, it was one of the very early EVs we had, but you know, I would lean smart EV or smart ED, I guess we call it, because they look great and you can get them, you know, decent prices. And this, here's one with only 15,000 miles on it, 13, and then you get the 4,000, or I guess it'll probably be less than 4,000. You can get the tax credit here. But, you know, they're lovely little cars. I like them. But Tom's BMW i3S suggestion, I think, is great as well. I think I would I'd probably go that way personally. I think it's just more of a substantial car. I love the look of them. I saw one the other day, and when I see them, I just like automatically wave like they're my friends, because I expect someone who drives this car, you know, would be my friend. You know,
it still looks futuristic.
It does.
When you're behind an i3 driving down the road now, it still looks like, wow, that's like a car that hasn't come out yet. And that's crazy. It's 10 years old, the design, you know. And I tell you, I loved my i3s. I really did. The BMW is ahead of the game. I understand why they didn't sell a lot of them, because it was a really funky car that didn't have long range. And it was un-BMW-ish. And, you know, it's just kind of the coach doors. And it was too out there for a lot of people. But the people that bought them loved them. I mean, my friend Chris, he's on his fourth one. And, you know, I know so many people that have owned two or three of them, kept getting them when the new ones came out with the bigger battery and, you know, when the i3S came out. And now the S's, I mean, I'm watching. They're around 26, 27, most of them. But every now and then you see one for 21, 22,000. They sell quickly. But you have to keep on top of everything. But you can get one for that cheap and with the federal tax credit, under $20,000 for like a $60,000 car that's only 3 years old. You know, you can get a 20 or a 21. And it's such a substantial vehicle for that price. Where Martin's talking about, you know, just a beater, you know what I mean? That you can just, you don't have to worry about, and you're not going to feel that way about the i3 for sure. I mean, you know, it'll be, it'll outclass your other vehicles, and this is your fun player, kind of just weekend car. But I would, if you could find one at the right price, and it sounds like you're interested in the Cooper SE or an i3, that would be what I would do.
There's also the Volkswagen e-Golf as well. If you like front wheel drive, the i3S is rear wheel drive, and you know I prefer that. But if you prefer a front wheel drive experience, like the Cooper SE would have, the Volkswagen e-Golf might be worth looking at. I'm not sure. I've heard good things about just how they handle. They feel great to drive. But I'm still leaning i3 with you, Tom. i3S, actually. Yeah. All right. This our final email. It comes to us from Bill, who his email had a great subject line: wanting to step up from Bolty McBolt face. So that's a little preview here. I am writing this as I watch the replay of the Leaf for Tesla show. I'm in Southern Ontario, Canada, and I have a 2020 Chevy Bolt with 52,000 kilometers on the clock. It's about 1,400 kilometers from being clear of its BECM recall, at which time I expect to get 100% capacity back. We have lived and even road tripped last summer with 80% of the battery available, but gosh darn it, I'd like to have faster charging. 50 kilowatts is cute, but I'm a grown-up. We are a couple of a certain age, and frankly, we deserve some creature comforts and conveniences, like cooled memory seats, good driver assistance, wireless CarPlay, reasonable storage, backseat AC for the puppers, heads-up display for me, supple ride for the missus and her mum, 400 kilometers plus of range, that's about 250 miles, and a decent charge rate, ideally 150 kilowatts or more. Also, we live in the snow belt and miss the all-wheel drive we had on our last ice mobile. Our budget is $50,000 in colorful dollars, that's Canadian dollars, or Canadian money comes in all kinds of colors. It's awesome. I hope to get 25,000 for the Bolt to mitigate my out of pocket cost, but can realistically only expect 20,000 as trade in, which will at least reduce my 13% sales tax burden on the balance. Woo, sales tax. Ooh, Canadian sales tax, man. I'm pretty sure you will lean heavily on the e-tron, but the efficiency / range, so sad. And 104 kilowatts charging of the Jag is pitiful for a luxury brand. Thoughts? Forever in your debt, Bill. All right. Well, I like Bill. He's cool. And he's Canadian, of course. So, Martin, what's your initial thoughts here?
Yeah, so my initial thoughts, until he got to the charging point was the Kona would do really well. Top spec Kona has heated seats, cooled seats, head-up display, doesn't have wireless CarPlay, but plugging in it is not too onerous. But the charge speed's only ever going to peak at 77. And yeah, it'll hold it for a bit, but it does dip down. So maybe I would think of something like the Volvo XC40, which has got much quicker charging. Not great efficiency, but again, top spec on that. And you're going to feel great inside it. And the XC40 is not a huge vehicle, but you'll get the doggos in the back. And that's got all the creature comfort, same as the Polestar 2 as well. Different, you know, kind of vehicle, more of a saloon car. Well, it is a hatchback, of course. And again, that's got loads of room for storage. It's got all of the heated and the cooled seats. And oh, no. No cooled seats. The top spec Kona has properly, it blows the air, not just air, but it blows the air conditioning through the seat. I believe that's how it works in the Kona. And our one felt properly cold. And heated seats in the back and stuff like that as well in the Kona. Wasn't cooled seats in the back, was it? No, didn't spend too much time in the back of that car. But a little bit small. But if you really want the charging speed, then perhaps, let's have a look at your budget, $50,000. Perhaps, can you get a new spec ID4 on the top of the range with all of the toys with a new software for $50,000? I'll check the price. That might be an option as well.
Good call there. I'm actually on the Volkswagen Canada website.
We think alike, you see. Great minds and all that.
So what are your thoughts, Tom?
So I was thinking similarly to Martin, except they sounds like they're really looking for a little bit more luxury than Volkswagen. So I was thinking Audi Q4 e-tron, which is basically an ID4, but a luxury version of it. Now, there's probably not a lot of inventory of those, but if you can find one used, it's probably within that budget because it's not too much more than that new. So that might be an option there. But then I started thinking, I looked at the list of things that you're interested in. And this might be crazy because you didn't seem like you went in that direction at all. I see used F-150 Lightning Lariats, like my truck, for like $52,000, $53,000, right outside of your budget. Now, I don't know with Canadian dollars, that might make a big difference.
It's about 36 equivalent American dollars.
I have air-conditioned memory seats, Blue Cruise, which is very good driver assistance, wireless CarPlay, excellent storage, not reasonable storage, excellent storage, backseat AC for the puppers. There's separate vents that blow off from under the seat. You ask for a supple ride for the missus and her mom. True. My Lightning has about the best ride. I asked my wife. She won't let me take any other vehicle on long drives. It's so soft and cushy. It doesn't have a HUD, but very few vehicles are going to have a HUD for you. It has more than 400-kilometer range that you ask for, and it has a decent charge rate. So, I mean, I just drove it to Florida 1,000 miles in 18 hours. So, you know, I drove it up to Canada. I took it to New Hampshire. You know, a 30, 35-minute stop adds 200 miles. So, you know, I know you might not have been thinking pickup truck, but take a look at a Lariat. You know, it's kind of like a luxury car. The inside is really comfortable, really nice environment, huge backseat area, huge. I mean, you can have dinner back there. It's so big. And you've got tons of storage. You talked about wanting to have all-wheel drive. You haven't had all-wheel drive in a while for Canadian winters. I mean, there's not much better than that. I mean, it kind of ticks all your boxes. You may not have thought of being a pickup truck person, but you should just take a look at it and see if you can find a used one in that price range, because I think you'll be happy with it.
I agree. When you talk about creature comforts and, you know, you want a certain, you know, you feel like you deserve a break of a certain age, you've earned it now. Space is a great creature comfort, I would say. And the F-150 Lightning is really big. We've had one imported that I know of over here that I was in. And we can drive it on our roads over here, but it's so much bigger than so much else that we travel in. It is huge in there. And, you know, the seats are nice. The elbow room, you can get comfy. It's like an armchair. And space is a great luxury. And that's a great shout from Tom.
Yeah, I have a good friend of mine that has a Cadillac Escalade, which is enormous, right? It's your living room on wheels. And I drove him and his wife recently in the back seat. We went out to eat. And he just kept marveling over how much room was in. He goes, I can't believe this. This is like way more room than we have. Now, he has the third row seating, so it kind of compresses things. But, you know, I mean, when you sit in that back seat, you can't touch the front seats. I mean, that's how far, that's how much space it is back there. So, you know, it's something to consider.
That's an interesting play. That's a good, interesting call there, Tom. Thanks for that. Yeah, I don't. It's hard. It's a bit of a tight budget. So I was looking at the new ID4s, but to move up to an all-wheel drive brand new ID4, it's like 60,000 Canadian, right? So it's a little outside the budget. I believe they have like a $5,000 federal thing. And let's see, what province was he in? Oh, Southern Ontario. I'm not sure what Ontario has for incentives, but. So I don't know, but I did like Tom's shout out about the Audi, which will be a little bit more comfortable maybe than the Volkswagen. The Audi, was it Q4 e-tron? E-tron, yeah.
It's an ID4, you know, it's just basically, in Audi clothes, you know.
Yeah. What does it come? I know that the Audi ID4 comes with, you can get it with massaging seats and things. So that the Q4 comes with all that.
I don't know if it's standard. I forget. I did the first drive, but it was a while ago, and I can't remember. But it has a lot of creature comforts.
Right. I would have to go to you. I think it was just going to the used market for that. You know, find something. I mean, it's just a few thousand miles on it. Someone gets to take off, you know, a bunch of depreciation, and yeah. And but try to stick to the 2024 model year. It'll have the more powerful motors. But if you do, actually, if you go. But the 2023 model, all-wheel drives still has plenty of power in those as well. That's all the power you really need. You don't need to upgrade for that if you're going all-wheel drive anyway. And you're more likely to get a good price. I think the software from the 2023 is updated to the same level as 2024, or is it 2024 still a little bit? I know 2024 you can set the preconditioning manually, right?
Yeah, honestly, I can't remember if you can on the
tour. Right.
We go through too many drives. I can't remember every little thing for each vehicle.
Right. And what else out there is, man, luxury. Use the Audi e-tron, but I don't know. Like you said, not quite the range. But it's fast charging, though. I mean, it might not have the great range, but it does have pretty decent charging overall speed. Jag, I don't know if I'd go Jag for you in Canada just because the past, you know, reliability issues, say, with no, our friend in the UK has got 2 years of warranty, so I feel more comfortable, you know, recommending that car. But in Canada, I don't know. So I would say I would lean, yeah, use the Audi, basically. Q4 e-tron. Yeah. What do y'all think?
Good shout. Good shout.
Okay. Well, I guess that will bring us to the end of another show. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them below or get in touch with us on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Don't forget, if you didn't like the show, please give us a thumbs up. Click subscribe, tap that bell icon for notifications, and thank you all again for joining us, and we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.